Join with me as we beseech God to do only that which God can do. Our gracious God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make the meditations of our thoughts and the words of my lips be efficient and restrained so that your word and your word alone is heard. We find comfort and strength. It creates the faith that we need in the hearing. So may we hear properly today, only through the power of your present Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to make a confession. Movement doesn't bother me in church. If you need to get up, exit, do whatever you want to do, movement doesn't bother me. If you want to write, that doesn't bother me, whether it's taking notes or making a shopping list. But it just burns me up to see people talk in church. Would anybody else agree that it irritates you to see people talk in church? Come on, be honest. Yeah. But I want you to know that talking in church is what worship is all about. So why is it irritating? Well, if you look in our passage today, in our text in Revelation, our text is very talkative. John speaks several times. God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus speaks. The congregation speaks. God speaks again. So I guess if I define and refine my irritation, what really irritates me in church when people talk is when they talk about anything other than Jesus Christ. That's what irritates me. And what irritates me more than seeing the congregants talk about anything other than Jesus Christ is when the person who mounts the pulpit talks about everything instead of Jesus Christ. That's what really irritates me. I don't want to hear about politics. I don't want to hear about ethics. I don't want to hear about environmentalism. I don't want to hear about practical behavior. If I want to learn how to be patient, I'll watch Oprah like the rest of America. I want my preacher to talk and proclaim Christ. And John tells us what to say. If you look in this passage, he tells us what to say as we talk about Christ. He's the faithful witness. He's the firstborn of the dead. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. This is what we are to say. See, Easter wasn't last Sunday. We have a problem when we see Easter as a punctiliar day. Easter wasn't last Sunday. Easter is the way we live. It's what we walk in. Or, let me say, it's how we talk. If you come to the ordination service this afternoon, you're going to hear one that I could just listen to read the phone book. Our bishop is in Northern Virginia, and Bishop Murray's from England. And he just has that way of speaking that makes you, he's got an edge over Americans just the way he sounds. He speaks English. Regardless of what I'm saying, it comes out with a slightly southern drawl and some Bedford County roots. See, that's my accent. But I don't think I have an accent. Do you think you have an accent? No, you think everybody else has an accent. You just talk right? Let's be honest. Well, see, Scripture would tell us, and worship would demand, inform us, that our accent is Jesus Christ. When we talk, we speak Christ. Whatever we say, it should be the sound that we hear. And John goes on to tell us more about that. Look in verses 5 and 6. He tells us this accent that we speak of Jesus Christ is he's a great Savior. He's not a partial Savior. You don't have partial salvation. I don't like talk that talks about, well, I might get into heaven on the skin of my teeth. No, you're going to get in through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's full. It's not partial. It's not, well, maybe I'll sneak in under the wire. Maybe when St. Peter's occupied with somebody else, I can sort of sneak in. No, we boldly, because we're covered with the finished work of Christ. But he also tells us he's the coming king in verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. These notions of eschatology that something is going to happen and planes are going to crash and cars are going to wreck and other things are going to happen and everyone's going to say, huh, wonder what just happened. That isn't the teaching of Scripture. When he comes back, everyone will know. And as we read in elections today, they'll know and they'll wail. They know exactly what has happened. See, God's triumph is not finished yet. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. So therefore, we not only boldly pray because Jesus Christ is our asset and our great Savior, but we boldly pray, Thy kingdom come. And Thy kingdom expand in me. Now, you've got a role in that. You've got a role in that. You go. You'll go tomorrow. You'll go this afternoon to places that no one else in this room will go. You ever thought about that? I don't care even if you work at the same place. Each one of us will see a unique set of people in this coming week, right? Unless you are tied to the hip to someone, you're going to see a unique set of people. You are God's kingdom ambassadors, declaring, speaking with an accent, that the King is coming. The King is coming. And the most beautiful thing that Brandon read in Revelation is in verse 8. He's an almighty God. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the God who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Do you know how many verses are in the Bible? You might take a guess. 32,102. It took me all day Monday to count these. 31,102. Now, if you go to the middle, which would be what? 16 or so thousand. Do you know what the middle verse of the Bible is? The hinge upon which the entirety of Scripture turns? You can jot this down. And I think there's something more than ironic of the center verse of the Bible. The center verse, which has the equal amount on the both sides, is Psalm 118, verse 9. And this is what it says. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. He's an almighty God. If you're like me, you probably put confidence in people before, and it was ill-placed. You probably had expectations that didn't play out. You probably know that to trust in anything other than an almighty God is fleeting. I feel pretty healthy today, but I can't put any trust in that because it could change in a minute. I feel pretty happy today, but I can't put any trust in that. It could change in a minute. Most of you sort of like me. I can't put any trust in that. I could change in a minute. But there's one thing, brothers and sisters, that we can put our trust in, and it'll never change. From beginning to end. So why would we talk about anything else? I heard a story about a little boy who was singing, and he didn't get the words right. But in a way, he did get the words right. You know that old song, Trust and Obey? This is how he was singing it, so his parents wrote. And I'm going to offer it to you. as good theology and what you should talk about. He's saying, trust and it's okay. That's really good. Trust and it is okay. Now that's good news, worthy to talk about.
When the world was begun, I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down to heaven and I danced on earth at Bethlehem where I had my birth. Dancing wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all. For the scribe and the Pharisee, but they wouldn't dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John, they came with me and the dance went on. Dance then wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. On the Sabbath, then I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame, and they whipped and they stripped and they hung me on high and left me there on a cross to die. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought gone, but I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that will never, never die, and I'll live in you. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? If so, let us stand together and confess our faith using the Nicene Creed. You'll find it on page 880. Let us stand together, confess our faith. Together, brothers and sisters, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift your heart.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our duty and our joy to give you thanks and praise, Lord God of heaven and earth, because you are continually renewing your work of creation and transforming it to show your glory through resurrection. With your touch, you formed us from the dust of the earth. You raised your people from slavery in Egypt. You bound them to you through your covenant on Sinai. And you made yourself known to them in exile in the promised land. In the cross of Jesus, you take into yourself the scars of our sins. And in his resurrected body, you invite us to touch the wounds of your love. And so we gladly thank you, with angels and archangels, and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Forgiving God, your Son's disciples cowered behind locked doors. And yet in him you visited them on the evening of resurrection and breathed on them the spirit of peace. Breathe that Holy Spirit upon us now, that your church may know the power of your forgiveness, and that these gifts of bread and of wine may become for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with the disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Lord and God, intimate Savior of our lives and cosmic ruler of the universe, in Jesus you are the substance of things hoped for and the knowledge of things unseen. Visit in his struggle under the shadow of doubt. Minister among all who suffer beneath the claims of oppressive rule. Resurrect your children, your church, and your earth. Bless those who have not seen and yet believe. And shape your wounded body, the church, to let the world see you through its scars. Lift every voice to sing your Easter glory until the day when all stand before your throne in eternal communion with one another and with you, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, there's much movement in Scripture. We hear of Jacob's ladder. Climbing a ladder can be laborious. Get tired. The weight is heavy. We look at all the rungs left that we must do. We also read about dancing. We heard a few moments ago in the psalm. And I love that line in the psalm. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. But we do. We do. We dance in the difficulties of pain and loss and suffering. We dance. It's far more than singing in the rain. It's dancing in Jesus Christ. You remember King David? What he did when the ark came back into town? Dance. Much of the chagrin of his wife. And she said, "Oh, how the king has defiled himself today." And he said, "You haven't seen defilement yet. Watch how I'll continue to dance." And the reason we dance, brothers and sisters, is the resurrected Christ presents himself to you this morning. His blood shed for you, his body broken for you,
This is the Lord's table. Therefore, all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity are called to come and partake. We partake by intention. I'll give you the host. You dip it into the chalice, after which you can make your way to the kneeling bench for prayer. Sister Katie will be at the corner over here if you'd like to have just special prayer with someone. So I would ask Katie to come forward and for you to prepare your hearts.